Yahweh Skanakagwego. You know I'm thankful you're well. You're tuned in the Gyno. And I'm your host, Brett Mabee. I'm coming to you from the Allegheny Territory of the Seneca Nation. Each week we take a listen to some amazing music from different indigenous artists from all across Turtle Island. For the next hour, enjoy the music in the chat. Today my featured guest is Sandy Schofield. She's a multi-Juno Award nominee. This Cree and Soto artist is equally multifaceted in rockabilly, Cajun, jazz, vocal, zydeco. She began her professional music career back in 1986. She's accomplished a lot of great things, has toured the world. And today we're talking about her latest album, Red Earth. And kicking things off right now is 1,000 Miles. Turn it up and sing along. You're listening to Gyno.
Baby just packed the suitcases and doing the permanent splits. When the hurting's over, all is said and done, I'll be 1,000 miles from nowhere on the run. I keep my coins in my left pocket and my with trouble close behind. Well, I'm 1,000 miles from nowhere doing time. How is the weather on the Isle of Misery? It's on its vacations whenever my cup of tea. You don't need ID. That's all expenses paid. Thank you.
From Sandy Schofield's 2022 Redder. That's her 1,000 miles kicking off our listening on today's episode of Gynome. It's with great pleasure that I get to welcome today's featured artist to the show. So before going any further, now we scan out Sandy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Thank you very much. I'm quite happy. It's a little cold here in Vancouver on the wet coast, we call it. But myself, I'm doing quite well.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, cold is something that we kind of want during this time of year, so I guess that's a good thing too, yeah.
Well, it is still winter. The people that complain about it, like we're the warmest part of Canada here on the coast.
Sure.
And people get all weepy. Oh my God, we've got snow. And it's like, well, it is February.
Yeah.
Still, hello.
I feel the same exact way here, except this is not typically known as a warm place. I'm a little south of Buffalo, so it gets pretty cold, you know.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Well, you know, let's warm the conversation back up, shall we? Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, I come from a family of musicians, so some of my earliest memories were family gatherings where all my aunts and uncles, you know, one aunt played banjo and, you know, my grandmother played the piano and a bunch of aunts and uncles played fiddle, and they'd all get their instruments out and start jamming. And there was a little keyboard that they sit me down to, and I'm talking like I'm 5 years old, 6 years old, just a little wee thing. And they'd say, play along, Sandra, play along. Well, you know, it wouldn't matter what I played because you couldn't hear me, you know. And it's uncanny because I'm sure they didn't think at the time that I would, in fact, pursue a lifetime of music.
Sure.
You know, but that is one of my fondest memories, is seeing that little kid at the family gathering. So that's where I come from.
On that note, you used to see that, I think, quite a bit more. Because let's face it, there weren't as many ways to pass the time, I guess, you know, once upon a time. But you have obviously carried this musical gift on. Are any of your siblings or cousins musically active still, or is that something that's dwindling?
Oh, no, I have quite a few relations that are pursuing music. Let's see, my cousin Rhonda is a fantastic singer. She lives in London, Ontario, and she has a group, and she gets out there. My nephew, Nathan, he's playing professionally. I have cousins out here that play professionally. Yeah, so it's carrying on for sure. I mean, that's our legacy, yes.
That's fantastic.
So I'm not the only one.
At what age did you start formally studying music?
Well, my first love in life actually was visual arts. I was obsessed with painting and drawing and doing sculpture and things like that. And then round about graduation time, I had a mother who was a Jehovah's Witness. No, nothing against Jehovah's Witnesses. However, she did not want me to go to school and be an artist. So in that exchange with my mother, I was a little beaten down. And basically, that's when I took up music. And I just fueled all my creativity into music. And having since in my career done theater as well, I've come to realize that the creative impetus is the same no matter what your discipline is.
Oh, yeah.
It's the parameters of your physical output that determines, you know, like what it is you're doing. That becomes different based on what discipline you're working in. But the desire to create is there right across the board, no matter what discipline you're working in. So, I put everything into music, and away we go, away I went.
Sure. I come from a musical background and multi-instrumentalist, and it was through a little bit of hesitancy that I find myself in the broadcasting world. But I've come to a similar conclusion. I was like, wow, geez, you know, this is just another instrument that I get to learn to hone and perfect, you know. So
yes, exactly. You must find a lot of creative outlet through doing what you're doing. You know, you get to pick who you want to interview and steer the conversation, and you know, there's quite a bit of creativity, I'm sure, in interviewing people.
Yeah, oh, 100%. And more fun to be had. Stay tuned for more details. Sandy, before we get into our next block of listening, well, let's just talk a little bit more about your musical background. When did your first album come out?
My very first release was in 1994, eons ago now, and it was called Dirty River. And I don't really have a title track to the name of the album. However, with Dirty River, I did have a song called Dirty River that was about my background, where I came from, and my family. And I grew up in Windsor, Ontario, of all places.
Okay.
And so specifically, Dirty River is a metaphor for trauma and dysfunction and things of that nature.
Sure.
But it's also specifically referencing the Detroit River, which is horribly polluted, or it was when I was growing up.
Sandy, let's hold that thought and come back and talk after this next few tunes. You know, as we get into our listening for Red Earth, you were kind enough to mention to me in our pre-chat, there are a number of sentimental moments on this album, and the song that we're about to hear is one that you wrote for your dad. Please let listeners know a little bit about this track.
Well, it features the brilliant guitar work of Raven from Digging Roots. I can't pronounce his last name properly. Thank you very much. You're a little more on the ball than I am. It featured, I loved his guitar work on this. And it was a song that I wrote about my father and the fact that we carry a genetic connection through the generations.
Mm.
We inherit this ancestral memory. Our bodies carry this memory.
Well, through just the few minutes that we've been talking, I feel like I got a better sense of your musical family and that I know your dad just a little bit more, and I'm excited to get into our listening at this point. So without further ado, before our time is up, in fact, we're going to be hearing one from Digging Roots. I also have a recommendation coming from Sandy, and that comes by way of Kenny Starr. But first, one from Russell Wallace's Unseated Tongues, and this one, it's Sandy Schofield's DNA from her 2022 Red Earth Asaranonda Jates Nangan Winisa Day. You ought to sing along today. You're listening to Gyno.
Up in a frame of with Pelican. With Pelican, it's Pelican. Hey, oh, hey, oh.
Hey, I am Russell Wallace, and you are listening to Guy No with Brett Maybe.
Say
recommendation from today's featured guest, Sandy Schofield. That's Kenny Starrs, right here with you today on Gyno. Welcome back to our discussion. I'm joined on the line with Cree Métis artist Sandy Schofield. We're discussing her musical background, and at this point, we're going to start chatting a little bit more about this particular album. But first, once again, Sandy, I want to thank you for the recommendations that you shared with me and introduce some great new music to my listeners as well. I was wondering, Kenny Starr, you must be quite the fan, yeah?
Well, Kenny and I are friends, actually. We co-wrote the opening track on Red Earth, Traveler, and we've co-written another song that was on my last album called Face, and people seem to like that song very much. The jury's still out on Traveler from Red Earth. But we met at we were both performing at the Vancouver Folk Music Festival back in 1996, and we did a workshop together. And at the end of the workshop, we both kind of looked at each other and almost simultaneously said, well, I really like your work. Yeah. Well, that just initiated a friendship that stayed alive all these years. Sure. And I adore her work. She works in a different genre than me. She works in hip-hop, and I just have so much respect for her. She's very, very talented. And I love the ideas she has and the things she comes up with. So it's always a joy to co-write with her.
Well, nearly 30 years of friendship, that's a quite impressive time to really collaborate. Are you two planning to work on anything here in the near future as well?
Not immediately speaking, but usually how it happens is one of us, we tend to write. We don't live in the same place. Kimmy lives on Haida Gwaii, which are the two islands off the coast, kind of north of here. And I, of course, live here. So we work remotely. There are processes just sort of haphazard how we come up with our work. But it tends to just be an email. Hey, do you want to write something? And away we go.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to future collaborations as well. Sandy, let's shift gears a little bit and dive deeper into Red Earth at this time. Something that I was immediately impressed with right off the bat, with Traveler, in fact, are the unique chord changes and textures on the album. I mean, you're really pulling from all of your influences on this, huh?
You know, our Western music, popular music, is so ingrained in 4-4 rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, and triadic harmony. Really, most music that you listen, that you hear on the radio, is there's not really much going on, and there's cliche chord change, like passages.
1, 4, 5, yeah.
1, 6, 1, 6, 4, 2. Yeah, sure. You just threw me there, but yeah, 1, 4, 5, that type of thing, and. So I tend to, my personal aesthetic, and I tend to write for myself, not what I think somebody wants to hear. My own personal aesthetic is to just twist that up a little bit, you know. Sometimes I throw in bars of 5, or I'll throw in a bar of 7 on a 6-8 tune or something like that. And harmonically, I tend to like altered chords and stacked, you know, more almost jazz. Like, I like a lot of suspended chords. I love 7, going to the 9. Yeah, and so I tend to like aesthetically what's a little left of center rather than sweet. Although in the end result might be sweet.
Something tells me you like the challenge of connecting disparate pieces from time to time, or disparate passages, right? You know, you.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
In what ways does Red Earth represent an evolution of your craft?
I write stories. You know, I'm a storyteller. I'm an indigenous person. And so the way I manifest my stories, rather than sitting around verbally telling them, is through songwriting. Yeah. So all the songs are stories. And it's just a continuation of my journey, you know. I'm really big on education. I'm big on learning and pushing my own parameters and pushing the envelope for myself. So it's just a continuation of that, really.
I think the kind of dedication that you have for the craft is really telling in these album releases that sound newer and fresher when, for a lot of people in the industry, when they've been recording for 30 plus years, I think a lot of times you see the opposite. People following these very basic formulas that just lose that spark that makes the earlier body of work so special. I don't hear that, I should say, in other words, with your music. I hear a renewed love in your music, and you definitely don't sound bored.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, that's just because, again, I'm trying to push the envelope of my own abilities and my own sensibilities, you know, with my writing musically and also lyrically. You know, I'm really enchanted with metaphor and capturing, isolating emotions and things of that nature through something tangible.
That's so beautifully put. I'm excited to get back into the listening of Red Earth. As we were mentioning earlier in our discussion, there are a number of dedications and really sentimental pieces on this album. The last one that we heard was DNA. You had written that about your father. What other standout tunes on this album are in that same kind of vein with you?
Well, George, and also Hummingbirds. Hummingbirds was written for two Indigenous youth that were murdered in Canada, and the murderers got off scot-free from white jurors. So Hummingbirds is one that's dedicated, and also George was a song I wrote for a friend of mine who passed away a couple of years ago.
And specifically, if I remember correctly, that's about the night that he passed away, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
We're going to get back into our listening at this point. We still have one coming by way of Raven Ganadokta and Digging Roots. In fact, that's the second recommendation that Sandy was kind enough to share with us today. We're also going to hear a tasty number from Shelley Morning's Songs, I Talk to the Animals, but coming at you right now, Turn It Up and Sing Along with Sandy Schofield's George from her 2022 Red Earth today on Gyno.
Didn't write this song about how you made me feel like I